Good morning. Good to see those that are out. Glad to see all of us and hope that you are well. I'd like to take our thoughts this morning from a song that we sing, number 115. The song that we sang was really a perfect song in my mind for partaking of the Lord's Supper as the reminder to us as to why we partake of this memorial. And it's because of Christ's love, and that he was willing to put others ahead of himself to die on the cross for our sins, not anything that he had done, but he took away the sins of the whole world. He saw that we were guilty of sin, and the only remedy for that was the shedding of the blood of the spotless Lamb of God. And so we are thankful for that, and as we partake of the Lord's Supper very shortly, we'll think about his love for us, and that's why he did it. But our thoughts for this particular Christ-focused lesson is from song number 115, In the Desert of Sorrow and Sin. And many of you know that that is a song that I lead often. It's one of my favorite songs. And I think all of the songs in our book, I think, tell a story to some degree, and they have a sermon in them. But as I look at this song, I think about how it kind of leads from desperation to a thought of happiness and well-being. And it says here in the first verse that in the desert of sorrow and sin, lo, I faint as I journey along. You think, well, what is a desert of sorrow and sin? And I think the thoughts here are talking about how as we walk in this earth life and how we are surrounded by sinfulness, we're constantly being bombarded with the wickedness of the world. As we read, and of course as we look around, but as we read in 1 John chapter 5 and in verse 18, we read what John writes, 1 John 5, 18 and 19. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. And the scriptures point out that the whole world lies in wickedness. And so as we look around in our life, we see that there's just wickedness constantly bombarding us and surrounding us. As we turn on the television and we turn on the news, it's often been said that it's not news, but it's bad news. And we see how constantly there is murder, and we hear of all the evil things that men do to each other. We're constantly being bombarded by sin, and not just the wicked works that men do upon each other in the sense of vengeance and the evil works, but also in the things that they are partaking of that are of the sinful nature of pleasures. And we're constantly being bombarded by Satan's devices and him trying to make us fall short. As we read also in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 27, we read about what Paul says regarding Satan. 1 Corinthians 9:27. Paul writes, I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified. So the Apostle Paul says that he has to discipline his body because he is constantly being bombarded by sin and Satan trying to get him to commit sin, that he has to forcibly make himself do what he ought to do. And so as we walk in the desert of sorrow and sin, it says, lo, I faint as I journey along. It is something that can wear on us. The difficulties we face of being faced with temptation, and so it can be very draining. It says, with the warfare without and within, anyone that says that he doesn't struggle with sin or temptation and sin, then I think he's fooling himself, because the scriptures bear out that Satan is like a roaring lion. He walks about seeking whom he may devour. And you can just picture how a lion is just without any mercy. And it's just ferocious, and it just wants to kill. And that's the way Satan is towards us, and that he wants our souls, and he is without mercy. And so if we think that, well, you know, I really don't struggle with temptation or sin, then I would say that Satan already has you. And so we have this warfare without and within, and it can be very difficult to constantly be under Satan's bombardment. And says, see my strength and my hope nearly gone, and how it wears on us. However, in the second verse, we see, in my weakness, I turn to the fount. And so knowing that that it wears on us, it makes us weak, it says, I turn to the fount. Well, I think it's telling us here that it's turning to Christ and the words of life. In John chapter 4, verses 4 through 15, we read about how Jesus gives us water, but it's not the water that we drank, but it's spiritual water. John chapter 4, verses 4 through 15. But he needed to go through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw. And so Jesus offers this water that we will never thirst. And he's talking about the spiritual water. Remember when many of Jesus' disciples walked with him no more because they didn't understand his teaching and they couldn't accept what he was telling them. And Peter looked at the 12 and he said, will you also go away? Will you also no longer walk with me? And Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And so when we are constantly under the strain of sin and temptation, we go to the Bible and we read about the words of Christ, and they give us hope and they give us strength and they help us to overcome. The different times that Satan tempted Christ, how did Christ respond to those temptations? He responded by saying, it is written, and he always went to the scriptures, and the scriptures helped him to overcome the temptations that he was faced with. And so as we are constantly under the strain of sin and Satan bombarding us, wanting us to commit sin, we need to be studying our Bibles more because it'll give us strength. And so we need to go to the living water that Christ provides, and of course we find that in the scriptures. The rock that was smitten for me, and I drink and I joyfully count all my blessings, all my trials, a blessing to me. It's hard for us at times when we're going through difficult circumstances, we're going through trials and temptations, to think of those things as actually being a good thing. But we see in the book of James that those things are actually good for us when we go through difficult times. In James chapter 1, James tells us, James 1, verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith provides patience. And so we see that it's actually a good thing for us to endure hardships, because these things make us stronger. And of course, that's a cliche that we hear often, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. But of course, that depends on your attitude and the way that you react to those things. If we have the right attitude and we see that these things can better us then we're going to have joy as we face these things, knowing that God has given us something that we can handle. Also in James chapter 1 and in verse 12, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. And so when we endure temptations, we see that we'll receive the crown of life. And so we see how all of our trials are a blessing. And then we see, and finally, it has gone from this a place of sadness and difficulty to one where we look to God in faith, and then finally we can have hope. O thou God of compassion, I pray. How compassionate is God? And we sang that just a little while ago, of how compassionate God is. Why did my Savior come to earth? Because he loves me so. Because God has compassion for us. He saw that we were without a Savior, and that the only way that we would be saved from our sins is through Christ. And so this God of compassion, we can come to in prayer and ask him to help us. As it tells us in the scriptures that we can come before the throne of grace boldly. Let me ever abide in thy sight. Let me drink of the fount day by day, till I join thee in mansions of light. Let us always be studying and partaking of the water that Christ provides, that living water, by studying his word and keeping his commandments. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And we will always be abiding in Christ and abiding with our God. So I thirst, let me drink. As I going through life, I'm faced with so many difficulties. I need to be going to Christ, studying the Bible, and praying to God that he will give me strength. Of the life-giving stream, let me drink. It's the rock smitten for me, the water of life. And so hopefully, as we face the difficulties that we go through in life, let us always be partaking of the fount day by day, and we will join God in mansions of light. And so as we partake of this memorial, realize that it is God, it is Jesus, who makes this possible. In John chapter 14, we read about how we will join Christ in mansions of light. John chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where we are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so we have that hope of heaven, and we will join Christ in those mansions of light when this life is over. And he has made that possible for us through his sacrifice. He was led through the streets in shame, as we often sing, and how he was beaten and mercifully mistreated and ultimately nailed to a cross and left to die. And of course he did, and he did that for us. And so let us think on these things as we partake of this memorial here this morning.